And sometimes it is too good to be true is what is said, right? But in this case, we're going to be studying the Word of God, and it's going to allow us to see that, yes, when it comes to God, you know, the truth is good and is more than good. Amen? And so let's go ahead, and I'd like to start with a word of prayer so God can lead us in this morning. God, we just want to thank you for all the things that you do for us in and out. Thank you for bringing us here, even with the coldness of outside. We thank you for the sun, because it's been a while since we've seen it, and it gives us the reminder that you're always with us, and even through cold days like today. We love you, Father, and as we expound on your word, I ask you to lead me out and to give me your heart and your mind. We love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, I like to discuss this particular verse that I found in Romans 8, 28. As some of you may know, I was this week at a pastoral's retreat, and it was, it was started on Sunday, but it ended on Wednesday night. And so as I was away, we had the opportunity to have with us Evelyn Talbot. I don't know if any of you guys have ever read any of her books. Very interesting. And, you know, from the minute that she started speaking, it's funny because as a pastor, we preach, but very few people preach to us in some ways. Or we're apt to sit down and listen to somebody preach to us. You know, we're normally the ones that do all the talking. So when I sat there and she started preaching, I kid you not, you know, it was a very Christ-centered message. It just broke me down. Like, I could not stop crying. And it just goes to show sometimes that in ministry, you know, as much as we try to do for the Lord, we need to realize our own brokenness. We need to realize that, you know, we do need of Christ every day and all days. And this is why I wanted to start this year with promises. I want to title it Returning to the Promises 2024. I believe because the ultimate promise is Christ. Amen. And so in this particular message, I wanted to share a promise here that Paul was writing in a context. He was writing to the Romans. You know, at this particular moment when he was writing this this letter, it wasn't so much persecution on the Christians per se. They were going through some trials and tribulations here and there, but the persecution from Nero had not started yet. Nero didn't go crazy on them yet. Okay, this was more about dealing with internal issues. The Jews that were Christian, the Jews that weren't Christian, you know, they were having some feathers were being roughed up and things like that. And so what he wanted to allow the Romans, the Christians in there in Rome to understand is the broader theme of God's redemptive plan. As we read, you know, if you've ever read Romans 7 and so on, he's trying to have, he's putting a theological, you know, message out where he's trying to show the people there, the theology behind Christ and God and the purpose, right? Because now that they're transitioning from Jews that were showing the world the redemptive plan, where now the redemptive plan came into effect, and no longer, you know, they probably felt like they no longer had a purpose. And so God here, through, you know, speaking through Paul, Paul is putting this letter together to let them know that, hey, there is a purpose for a time like this. There is a purpose in which God wants you to understand, and there's a promise within that purpose. And so that's why he, you know, when we read, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The first thing we need to understand is the context and how God's redemptive plan is working in all things. Oh, that's the word. In all things. What does Paul actually mean here when he says in all things? Right? Well, in all things means is that there is no exception and there's no limitations. God works through all things. And that's a very hard pill to swallow as a Christian, I think. sometimes we don't want it to be in all things. Like, how do you tell someone that, you know, when they call you up and tell you that they have brain cancer and they have 6 months to live, how can you tell them, hey, that's God's purpose in your life? That's not how it really goes, right? That's a really hard pill to swallow. Even as a pastor where I've been confronted with these things, you know, I can't say that, you know, I don't want to say that God is working in that as well, because we want to think of God as a good God, right? As a God that doesn't bring you punishment or allow these punishments to happen or these things to happen in your life, whether it was because of your own doing or whether it was because we live in this sinful world. But yes, in all things, there's no exceptions, there's no limitations. Whether you're going through a trial, whether you're going through joy, whether you're going through struggles, where you're going through, where you're coasting through on a nice boat and enjoying the beautiful sea, whatever it is, in all things, God is there. And he works his good. God works for the good because you know what? God is sovereign. Paul understands that God is sovereign, and even in Roman oppression, even in situations in which they may not be in one accord with the people, as far as the Jews, Christian Jews and non-Christian Jews, Gentiles versus Jews, and all the things that were happening in their time, even though they were struggling with this, the main point is that God remains sovereign regardless of what happens. I think Nebuchadnezzar can attest to this. Being a Gentile, if you want to say, right? He can attest to this because even as he was struggling and going through what he was going through, his insanity, he still recognized who was God. Last night I gave a sermon on the gentleman that came with 1,000 demons in him, right? And he ran to God. This man ran to Jesus as he saw Jesus coming off the boat. He ran to Jesus and fell at his knees. My brothers and sisters, this man was being tormented by his own demons. I don't know if you have been tormented by your demons in the past, but we all know the sleepless nights, you know, the ones that you keep turning over and over, and the worries that run through our mind and constantly chase us, the past that we have and the character that we want to be like Christ and the image of Christ, but we struggle because our past does not let us be, and so many things can keep us worked up. But at the end of the day, are we running to Christ? Are we running to God? And understand that God is sovereign. He will lift up kingdoms and he will tear them down. But it starts with the kingdoms in our hearts, right? That is why Jesus says that first seek the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness. And then all things will be given unto thee. And so this is why we have to understand together that God works for the good. I can't count how many times something bad was happening in my life. And as I trusted God and I started to come to him in prayer, as I started coming to read the Bible, I started to understand his plan. And then I realized the fulfillment, even though that bad thing happened to me in my life, that fulfillment turned out to actually be a good thing for me. Because through that trial and tribulation, not only was I able to see how God's hands worked, but I was also able to see how I was able to bless others through my failures. You know Saul, right? Everybody knows Saul chasing David and causing David to go kind of crazy and do things that he didn't think he was going to do, right? But I believe that Saul, God permitted Saul to be in David's life so that David can get the Saul out of his life. You know what I'm saying? If David didn't have Saul in his life, he would have not realized the Saul that lived in his heart, in his life. And so a lot of times these things, we need to understand that we need to recognize God's authority over all situations, no matter whether it's good or bad or whatever's happening. We need to trust in his wisdom and his perfect plan, because at the end of the day, we know what happens at the end of the story. We know what's going to happen. We know who reigns at the end. We know that evil will not reign forever. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Amen to that, right? And so we have to trust in his wisdom and his perfect plan. Here I like to define the word good, right? Because a lot of times when it says, when we think of good, we're thinking about us, how we think good should be, right? We're thinking about the way that I define good. But the reality is that good means that there is going to have to be some struggle. There is going to have to be something there where it has to allow us to spiritually grow in God's authority. We have to grow in his will and mature spiritually. We cannot be the same that I was 10 years ago or a year ago. I have to know that last year was, okay, my bad, my mistake. Okay, I have to learn from that. I have to progress. I have to mature in growth and in my spiritual upbringing. I cannot be the same as yesterday. I have to really conform to the image that Christ set before me. I cannot be the same as yesterday. I have to be more like Christ. And so that's the ultimate goal for verse 29. It says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We have to conform to the image of God, to the image of Christ, is what we need to understand as a Christian. So we gotta understand God's sovereignty in our lives. We gotta understand that through these trials and tribulations and struggles and joys and ups and downs, that this is helping us to be the Christian that we're set out to be, the follower of Christ that we're set out to be, the people that God has called for a time like this. And so even though when we look at things and these promises that all things are for good, we sometimes don't understand what it means good, because we think that everything is going to play out perfectly. Well, my friends, as long as we live in this world, nothing plays out perfectly. The only that thing that will play out perfectly is the end result in which Jesus returns for his people, and we will live in eternity in his presence, worshiping, singing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And so that is the only time that things will be. But you know what? That perfection starts to resonate in us. It starts to live in us. We need to live that way so that when we go up to heaven, we'll act that way. We'll be that way. There's no conflict there of interest. Everything will be according to God's will, and we will be okay with that. It says, for those who love him. This is a very important and resonating thing here. I struggled there when I was being preached to this week at the conference. It was very hard to understand that at times I know that I say that I love God, but my words do not back up with my actions. You know, sometimes I want to love God. I do. I really do. I think we all do at one point. We genuinely want to love God. We want to serve him. We want to be able to submit to his will. We want to say, yes, your sovereignty it resonates with me, Father. You know, I trust in all your wisdom. We want to say that. And we do at times, but our actions do not walk the talk, right? And so the essence of love in reality is having a relationship with God and walking that Christian walk day in, day out, dying self and living for Christ and allowing Christ to live in us. It doesn't mean that we change, you know, in the sense of personality. I'm still Omar, right? You're still Shirley. You're still Doreen. But character-wise, we will reflect Christ's character. We will love unconditionally, we will love knowing that at times people will not love us back, right? We will treat people good regardless if the person will treat me good. And that is so hard, especially in the world that we live in today, where it's self-consuming. Everything is about how I feel and whether what I do is, you know, if I'm going to get something out of it, right? Type of mentality. You know, do what works for you and I'll do what works for me and you leave me alone, right? And so we live in this world where the Christian walk is really looked down upon. You have to be crazy to be Christian. Amen? You have to be crazy. Crazy in love with Jesus. Because that's the only way that you're going to be able to do this. You have to trust and you have to love on him like never before. Living a life that reflects love for God. Living a life that reflects love for God. That when people see you, you don't have to say, I am a Christian. They already know. There's something different about you and I. That they'll say, there's something different about him. Tell me more. Show me more. I want to learn. I want to be part of. That is very evident in today's time, my friends, because there's a lot of, you know, when I look at social media, for example, and I look at gurus and all this other, there's a lot of influencers, a lot of people showing a lot of different ways to live life. And there's a lot of truth out there. There's a lot of ways. But when it comes to Jesus, there's only one that can give life. There's only one that can take you out of the ashes and bring you and make you into something out of nothing. Our time right now, we're called according to His purpose. For a time like this, we're called according to His purpose. Understanding our divine calling is so evident and important today as Seventh-day Adventists. Because we are called to preach the gospel, the three angels' message, and not only the three angels' message, but a message of love, hope, and grace that is encompassed in that same message. If we read Revelation, we always start at verse 14, where we always start at verse 6, but we forgot about verse 1 through 5, where it talks about those that are redeemed and that are covered with the blood of the Lamb. Those that kept the commandments, that didn't defile themselves. Not because there's something special in us, but because we chose to love God and we understand His grace. Because if it wasn't for that blood, my friends, we would not be here. There would be no purpose. And so we have to understand that our divine calling has to align our lives, means that we have to align our lives with God's purpose. It can't be what I want. My friends, you don't understand how sometimes I'm just be upfront with you. I shared it with some of you guys. I struggle because I do, you know, one of my weaknesses is money. Like, as far as, you know, when you look at yourself financially, like, well, I could do better. I could do this business. I could do that business. And I know all the things that I could do. I can imagine. I can envision myself. And then I say, why do I want that? What's going on with my relationship with God? And then I start to think about, wait a minute, that's who I was back then. That was me back then. That's not me now. I'm not living on my purpose, my terms. I'm aligning my life with God. I need to make sure that my line and my purpose is always aligned with God's, and that I have to understand my divine calling. And each and one of you have a divine calling, because I'm not the only priest up in here. The Bible says that each and one of you are also priests, or priestesses if you want to put a feminine term to it. But every single one of you guys are a pastor, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your family, whether it's your friends, whether you're in Walmart, wherever you are, you represent Christ. We're all aligned and need to be aligned with that divine calling and God's purpose. One of the things that, because of that, we have to understand that we have to embrace also that this, and understand that this promise is going to bring challenges to our life. Overcoming adversity is not easy. There are going to be many tears. There are going to be many frustrations, nights that you want to give up. My friends, we haven't even started the tribulation yet, and we're already struggling. Look at our churches, and I'm not even talking about just Adventists. Look at all the churches across the board. Leaders falling out left and right. Being divided over controversies and political views and nationalism and all these things. This is just the beginning of the labor pains. And the Word tells us this. We understand this. So how do you overcome this? We have to be the Bible. We have to be personal testimonies of God's faithfulness. We have to come to that, to accept that it is through God's personal testimonies. Our life has to be a walking Bible. We might be the only Bible that somebody may read and get to know Christ. Whether it's on their deathbed or whether it's in an alley and they're shooting drugs, we may be the only one. It may be your own son, your own daughter. I don't know. But we may be the only Bible that they'll get a chance to read. And instead of fighting with them and telling them what they're not, we need to tell them about God's love and His grace and how God has seen you through adversity and how He's gotten you through that and how there is hope in the midst of our trials. And we definitely have to trust God's timing. I know that is hard sometimes. We want things to change overnight. And there are times that God will respond that way. I can't tell you countless of times where I said, God, I need this. And it, boom, and it came. But there's also been times where God says, mm-mm, you're not ready for that. You're not ready for that. And I have to be patient in waiting in His perfect timing. And we have to look at things when we think about God's timing. We have to look at it in a, not only in an eschatological way, but also in God's eternal perspective. And that sometimes is hard because we don't understand eternity. We think that this is it for us sometimes. We live like this is it. Like, I'm already this age, and the other day I was freaking out. I'm like, I'm going to be 44, halfway to 80. And I was just like, Lord, what am I doing with my life? And this is when I get those moments that I could be doing a million things. And Lord, but I could be doing this. And I'll still do ministry. I'll still speak the word, and I'll still do this. But I could do this, and I could be more beneficial. And God's like, uh-uh, don't you dare. Don't do it. That is not my purpose. And so we have to live in the assurance, my friends, living in assurance and confidence in God's faithfulness. If he's done it for you before, what does it mean? How can we not say that he's going to do it again and do it better? And so reflecting on our past experiences of God's provision is vital, my friends. We have to look on how he's provided before. Listen, I hate to bring this up, but I ain't going to bring it up. Okay. A couple of months ago, or last year, we were so worried about, you know, our finances here in our church. And amen to you guys who are faithful and give, and for monies that come in. But we were in the red. We were in the red. And I remember it was Keith that came up here, and he gave a testimony on how this church, they decided not to live on the, they decided to live on the edge for Christ. And so they decided to send their church to do a mission trip. Okay. And when they came back, for whatever reason, they went from the red to clear. And I don't know, Keith, maybe you haven't been on the board for a long time, but it's crazy because I don't know how that happened, but that's how we ended up. We ended up from the red to the clear, even though we're still trying to resolve issues with the school and all that. And I know what's coming, you know. But at the end of the day, that happened, and no one said anything about it. But I remembered. I remembered. And I was like, didn't Keith the other days, you know, and I was just thinking about it. I was like, didn't he say this story and this and that? I was like, wow, that's crazy how that happened. I don't know who donated the money. I don't know who God moved to put that money in there. I don't know, you know, how God moved your hearts to put that money in there, but the money's there, and then we're out of the red. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. See, because I believe that if we focus on the plan at hand, God will provide the rest. There's provisions. He will provide the rest. I've seen it in my life, my personal experience with God. And I hope that you guys have also. I know many of you have also. And we have to let some things be God's business and move out of the way and stop preventing from God to handle his business in our lives, whether it's not only financially, but I'm talking about spiritually as well, my friends. Our confidence has to be that of showing that we have faith, even if it's as small as a mustard seed. Anchoring faith in the unchanging character of God is what we need to do. So how can we practice this? How can we put this verse into practice? Number one, there's only two things. Number one is, yeah, this promise is too good to be true, but it is true. And understand that God is faithful no matter what. He is sovereign. And through our journey, we will discover a lot of things. But number one, we need to daily surrender to God's will. As hard as that may seem sometimes, because I get it, we struggle and all that, but we definitely need to surrender our will to God and surrender, you know, to God's will. Number two is responding with faith in challenging circumstances. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it over and over again where God has been faithful and we are not faithful. For some reason, we just waver for what, you know, something challenging comes. God is faithful, but then, you know, he's shown us in the past and in the present, he's faithful. And then when it comes to really thinking about, oh, well, we're going to do this. Oh, but I don't know. But where is this going to come from? Where is that going to come from? Who's going to take care of this? We have to be faithful to even during the challenging circumstances, even through the things that we don't understand why this is happening to us. Why is our church going through this or whatever it is? We have to remain faithful even in challenging circumstances. And yes, there are things that are black and white, But that's why there's some things called miracles, and we have to allow God to work those miracles in our lives. As I conclude this, let us remember the powerful promise of Romans 8:28. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We're all called to his purpose. May this truth resonate in our hearts. May it give us, as we move forward in the new year, may it provide comfort, strength, and an unwavering hope that transcends the challenges of life, because we're just getting started. And so we need to proclaim these promises. We need to say, God, this is what you've promised. What's going on? I'm pretty sure that he's working on it. We just need to be patient. We need to let our hearts really be connected to God. And so let us go forth living in the assurance of God's promise, trusting that he is always, always at work for our ultimate good. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for today, even though it's cool outside, and I said thank you for the sun and everything, but I thank you for your word, because it could be all the circumstances sometimes around us can be negative, but your word always has a positive way of looking at things. Father, we thank you for your mercy, and thank you for being patient with us. Sometimes we do what we want to do, and like Paul says, sometimes we're just so wretched, and we don't want to obey. We want to do it our way. Forgive us for our shortcoming, for not seeking your glory and your righteousness. Help us, Father, to grow that mustard seed, to give it a shot. You're the one that provides the faith. And so I just ask you, Father, to give us more faith, to allow us to grow in your love, to allow us to grow spiritually as we need to, because the challenges are going to come. The trials and tribulations are knocking at our door every day. But Father, it is how we come about it, knowing that we are Christians, we are believers in Christ, and there's nothing that we cannot do or that's impossible for Christ who works through us. So we just ask you, Father, for a blessing, but a blessing of your Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit be poured down upon our minds and hearts. May we not waver to the left or to the right, but continue in our path with you, Father, that if we fall, that we may remember Christ, who is ready to pick us up and stand before us when the trials and tribulations come and our mistakes happen. Help us to trust in him. Help us to trust in your word and to continue to believe in it. Help us to understand that the Sauls in our lives are used to sometimes help us to grow and get closer to you. Father, we need to be close to you. And so I just ask you that your presence may not just be here today, but in our hearts and minds. We love you, Father, and we can't wait to see you. So we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. God bless.
Please stand for the closing song, The Wonder of It All.
There's wonder of sunshine and harmony, a wonder of strength and mercy, the wonder of wonders that fill my soul is the wonder that God loves me. All the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. There's the wonder of springtime and harvest, the sky, the stars, the sun, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is a wonder that's only begun. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all is to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me.
Amen. You may be seated.
The wonder out of it all, that he loves us so much. I want to thank everyone that came out last week to our evangelistic, I don't even know what to call it, but at all the churches that came out. But I thank you for your support last Sabbath. It was very beautiful to see all the churches together, and there was a lot more people missing there, and I know. But my friends, continue to pray for that evangelistic meeting as we continue to work. You're going to see a billboard coming up pretty soon, so that's going to be pretty cool. And we're going to start planning, some more planning this year. So pray for our new staff and that we get that ball rolling. Let us pray. God, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to come here today and fellowship together, to see our brothers and sisters and smile at each other and just feel the warmth of each other here, Father, especially because we know you're here. And so we just ask you to continue to be with us no matter wherever we go, whether it's our home or visiting others and things like that. And may we start the week with you, knowing that you have promised so much to us and we have so much to look forward to. We love you, and so we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.